Absolutely.
I don't know, but
you guys hear me?
Yes.
Well, welcome everybody. I think we have quorum. I just wanted to call the meeting to order. It's 6:01, January 19th, 2022. First order of business, I guess, pledge allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you all very much. First order of business. Do we have any minutes from the previous meeting? Ken, to approve. I don't believe we do. I just wanted to confirm that.
All right. We do not have any minutes from the last meeting, and Anna Marie made a motion
table. Table the minutes until the next meeting.
Got it.
Until our.
We'll do that. Public comments. I don't think Val is on today. I don't believe we have any public comments. Anne Marie, are you familiar with any public comments at this point in time? Just want to confirm we don't have any.
All right, I'm unmuted.
No.
Okay, I'll take that as a no. So we can move on to the head of school report by Mr. Pappas. So we'll turn it over to you, Elias.
Can we hear me now?
Yes.
Good, got it. Okay. So let me go to the share screen here and we will begin.
You want to hear this?
Okay. Good evening, everybody. Kali Kronia, Happy New Year. January board meeting 2022. Basically, as we look at our cycles, COVID mitigation is back in focus again and logistics for that. Some updates, some live stream options that we're currently going through. We're also, from the last board meeting, carry over minor modification logistics and enrollment. We have a little bit of an update over there. Expansion of the Greek immersion to include grade 5, updated EPR, fundraising and facilities updates, and a culture focus, which has a response to our survey data and restorative practices, part 2 training, which is coming up. So I know this is front focus for a lot of people, the COVID update, overall COVID campus updates to date. As of 1/12/22, we have a campus total of 443 total cases. We are still offering our testing program through Quidel, and they've been very flexible and responded to our needs, especially when we wanted to return to come on campus and do a very, very high level of testing for us in a very short amount of time. So we definitely want to thank our partners for helping us with that, and certainly want to thank our nurses and everybody who supported the nurses staff, because it's not just the test that you have to worry about, it's the close contacts and the contact tracing. It's a monumental amount of work, plus processing tons of emails that came in over the break for people who were sick. So that first week was rather tenuous, and I know that folks noticed that about us, because we were very careful in our reopening strategy because we wanted to make sure that we could actually open, we were logistically capable of opening, and that we had the staff in here and we could create a safe environment for our students. So all in all, though, we were able to do that. Quidel, as I'm sure many of you have heard, is spread out very, very thin right now. So they are testing as often as they can over here, and they're providing our needs. They're meeting our needs as much as they can. But as you know, there's even shortages with testing, with people, with staffing right now. So we did have testing again for staff members on Tuesday the 18th from 1:30 to 4. But Quidel right now does not have the staff or the availability to test all students on campus every week. So we have to go back to our biweekly testing for now. Part 2 of this, staff and student families are required to reach out to their building level RN for guidance when testing positive or someone within their home is positive. The Test to Stay program, Odyssey Charter continues to participate in the Delaware's Test to Stay program. This program offers unvaccinated close contacts the ability for the families to take them to the testing each night and attend school the next day. The program is operated at the state level, and Odyssey Nursing is here to kind of support that and is responsible for identifying participants, explaining the process, reviewing the results submitted by the families, but testing availability and locations is decided at the state level. That is not something that Odyssey has any control over. Close contact information, nurses are reaching out to the close contacts as they are identifying them. This close contact information may be shared via email or telephone. Nursing is doing their absolute best to help with this in a timely manner. At times, the notifications of positive cases happening as the close contact window has closed. Due to the notification process of close contacts, the entire community should be monitoring signs and symptoms of COVID. I think that's a really important piece for all of us to take away. It's something we all have to uplift each other over here and try to push through this. It can't just be up to our nurses or anything like that. So we're asking and we're pleading with folks, please do not send your children to school sick. Even if, you know, sometimes it's not COVID. I know there's new flu strains coming out and stuff like that, and we're experiencing a lot of people that are coming in with influenza, things like that, RSV, strep throat, cold. Please keep your child at home if they're ill. Students should not come to school if they have had a fever in the last 24 hours. They're still highly encouraging everybody to get recommended and get the booster shot. Many of you may have heard that with the Pfizer and the Moderna, right now, if you're out of a certain window and that window is 6 months, it's not even considered vaccinated anymore. And even in some foreign countries, if it's more than 9 months, you're not even considered vaccinated anymore, like for travel purposes. And for Johnson & Johnson, it's 2 months. So if you haven't gotten the booster, you're basically considered unvaccinated. And that's important to understand because it really clouds the data that we have regarding vaccination. I do want to report, because this was asked last month as well, and we did get this information. We have 2,466 consent forms for Quidel testing, which means that the vast, 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 vast majority of people who are here are going through the testing. And that's something that's important to understand. I want to share also the dashboard so everybody can kind of see it. This is something that is not, it's always available to us, but it's something that's important for us to take a look at. Let me see if I can push this thing up a little bit so we can all see it a little bit better. There it is. So for last week's data, what you can see is that we had 14 positive cases in the lower school, 25 in the intermediate, 24 in the middle school, and 20 in the high school, a campus total of 83. That includes outside testing, Quidel, and the ones that are confirmed on PCR. So, and again, if you take this over the total population in the school, which is about 2,000, it's still hovering around that 4% range that we can continually report every time we run Quidel tests. So it is very much within the range of what we have been seeing since we got back. I do have some other good news to report, and I'll report that a little bit later, because in addition to what the nurses have done, and maybe I'll just scroll down to that now because it kind of connects. From an HR department, I just want everybody to kind of like understand what our HR department was able to do to get the school open, because it was quite a lift. It was quite a lift. So the first day that we got back, we already had like about 45 teachers that were out. Now we're only down to about 19 staff members that are out. So obviously, as the Omicron variant kind of goes through and COVID goes through our campus, we're able to return at a faster rate that people are coming out, which is what we anticipated, which allows for the school to run a lot more efficiently at this particular time. That's all very, very good news. We still have about 45 substitutes that are actively on site daily. This includes people that are also on parental leave and other issues of PTO that are part of it. We have 85 active and vetted substitutes available to provide coverage at the school. This includes our own OCS subs, Pritchett, Kelly, and Focus Staffing. So the candidates are still flowing in and we're vetting them and we're kind of check marking the ones that are the best so that we have them for future as well. And we successfully increased our number of licensed and certified registered nurses as well, and provided logistical support for the TTS program so that we would be able to do better contact tracing for that as well. Focused staffing seems to be the one that's giving us the best and most reliable service. So we are going to be switching to focused staffing from Kelly for all of our sub needs based on their proven ability to provide us with high quality need-based support. An electronic process is being established for the staff to request their own subs. And the goal is this process to be in place and communicated to staff by the end of next month. Talent acquisition has already begun for next year as well. And we'll kind of touch a little bit about that too. It's important to understand that the school is going through some changes, and we talked about a modification last month. And so the staffing needs are going to be increased. But in addition to that, we also want to make sure that we are entering the talent pool at a much earlier time than we've ever done in the past. So we're already in the process at looking at what is it that we're going to need for next year, and posting those positions right now so that we are well ahead of the game. And our team is already looking at recruitment fairs. There's one on the March 26th coming up, and identifying other areas where we can get this stuff done as quickly as possible, and so that we have the best talent coming to the school. So that's kind of where I am with COVID. There's a few other updates in here that folks are welcome to look at in terms of what the governor's executive orders were regarding COVID or state testing information or what have you. I do know that there's also, and I apologize, I did not put that in here, but I know that there was most people may have heard that you can get at-home tests now through the United States Postal Service. All you got to do is go to the United States Postal Service site and you can register, and they will send to each address for at-home tests. We highly encourage people, all of our folks in the community, to do this. It will definitely help with at least you knowing whether your child has COVID and you're trying to decide whether you need to send them to school. This is going to be something that you can have in your back pocket that's free of charge and available to us. Students are continuing with the 10-day quarantine period in case management with the school's registered nurse prior to returning on campus. This model has not shifted to the 5-day period for students, as the spacing during times when we're eating cannot accommodate a minimum of 6 feet at this time. So I do want to talk to that a little bit, because I know that some people were wondering, well, for students, why can't we bring them back after 5 days? Well, some schools have chosen to bring kids back on day 6. Once they see improving symptoms and maybe fever reduction or something like that, they're allowing the kids to come to school, but they're also allowing these kids now to eat and stay in classrooms within 3 feet of each other. And the most recent data that just actually came out this week indicates that specifically with the Omicron variant that's housed here in the upper respiratory system, one event of like a cough or a sneeze will extend respiratory particles up to 9 feet within a couple minutes. So having somebody sitting next to somebody else, right, for 30 minutes consecutively, unmasked and eating in the presence of Omicron simply doesn't make sense to us in terms of safety. As a result of that, we cannot consciously bring people back before the 10 days because we don't have the space to be able to do that. We can't put people in tents outside in 25 degree weather. So that's not an option for us either at this time. So with the logistics as they are and the campus as it is, the best option for us is to keep the kids home if they're sick until the 10 days are up. And that's the plan that we're going to move forward with until further notice. Yes. No, the contact tracing that we're doing is within the realm of the TTS program and all of the test to stay program and the DPH guidelines. All of it is exactly how it's being spelled out to us. Yes. The area where we have chosen, and we're not the only school, by the way, But the area where we have chosen to be a little bit more conservative is withholding on the 10-day isolation period. And that's simply because there's no safe way for us to do it differently at this time. So, and that's come through the recommendation both from our nurses, from DPH, in order to create a safe environment for our kids and for our staff for that matter. So that's where we are with COVID. Culture updates. Ms. Bonet has been doing a phenomenal job since she came on board as our culture coordinator. She has sent two levels of survey information out. She sent teacher surveys out and teacher and staff surveys out and parent surveys out already. And we have the data back on those. So those are feedback data sessions that we're using to determine what adjustments we want to make in our programming. Currently, she's working on finishing up the student survey data. And the student surveys will be ready this week, and then they'll be administered next week. Once we have that information, then we will have sent surveys to all stakeholders, and we'll be able to take that feedback and figure out, you know, what things we would like to do moving forward to help support making the educational experience at Odyssey as inclusive as possible with the stakeholder feedback. Also, Ms. Bonet met yesterday with the EPP alumni who talked through their capstone projects during their time doing the EPP training, which was the equity practitioners training. And they're coming up with a new strategy where they can take what they did for their capstone and put that together to implement to the school into some sort of initiatives moving forward. More information on that coming up. That just happened last night. From a building level, in our lower school, it's very, very good news that we were able to pivot to live stream. And across the K-12 system over here, we are now live streaming every day. And I don't have all the data for us yet, so I can't tell you exactly how many kids in every one of them are live stream, because right now the way the attendance is coming through, they're either present or not present. That does include people who are on Zoom. So we have to manually aggregate that data. So I don't have a report back on that quite yet, but I can tell you that our attendance overall is doing very, very well. It's over 90% using the live stream option. That being said, I will say that as the grade levels increase, those that did choose the live stream option are starting to fall off. We're starting to see absences from people who chose to live stream. So whereas the first couple days of live stream, 100% of the people who chose live stream were on Zoom. Now we're starting to see that drop from 100% to 80%. And so that's going to start to become a concern, which is also one of the reasons why we firmly believe that this can only be a short-term solution, because we're going to start to have people not showing up to school and getting really far behind. And that's not something that we want for the kids. And we know that that's not the best option for the kids. But we have been able to do that. Also, the lower school has been able to increase their, you know, enforcement, enhanced enforcement of mask wearing and social distancing mitigation strategies. We also converted the gym that's between the intermediate school and the middle school into another cafeteria so that we can space the kids out even more. In the lower school level, they've also done they've also started with occupational therapists through student services department, where they're looking at zones of regulation and restorative practices. Our new student advisor has started rolling out some of her own initiatives, including the Spread the Word to End the Word campaign, which is pretty awesome. And we're starting our American Heart Association Kids Challenge event this week, and a principal's challenge video to represent the lower and intermediate schools for extra fundraising power has already started. Collaboration has begun with the culture coordinator to review the data from the panorama surveys like we talked about and identify action items to improve the climate and the culture of the lower school. In the intermediate school, some exciting things that are happening right now: we are launching after school programming. As of the 11th of January, we have the Science Explorers on Tuesdays. We have the Young Rembrandt's Art on Wednesdays, and we have Freestyle Martial Arts Karate on Wednesdays as well. Fifth grade is participating in the AAA safety program, where they help us with arrival and dismissal duties within the school using the AAA's program, which is pretty cool. Middle school and high school both completed their first semesters and successfully implemented the virtual options as needed. Our eighth graders are going to take the second part of their social studies field test on the 24th of February. And a sample group is going to be taking the NAEP, the National Assessment of Educational Progress, on the 23rd of February. We have some student activities coming up as well in the middle school. The JA Financial Park field trip is on the 17th and the 18th of February. The middle school dance is on the 18th of February. Sixth grade trip to Freedom Riders at the Grand Old the Grand Opera House is on the 1st of March. And the seventh grade field trip to Constitution Center is on the 24th. I will talk about approval of travel requests at the very end for all of the travel requests that we have coming up for field trips. In our high school, we again began the new semester over there as well, beginning the 18th. And the high school is very proud to announce they will be accepting their first foreign exchange student this month. Sarah is joining us from Brazil and is staying with her host family, the Scots, who have two students in our lower and intermediate schools. So we want to welcome Sarah. We're excited to have her. I think it's going to be a great addition to the school. And grandma's a bus driver. There you go. So that's pretty cool stuff. The whole community effort. We do look forward to having some more international students coming through in the following year as well. We're also welcoming a new staff member at the high school this month. Gerard Kelly, Mr. Kelly, will be the work-based learning coordinator. So working with the students in all high school grades, focused on supporting students in the CTE programming and work-based learning initiatives. So that's a pretty nice thing to have as a bonus for us to be able to provide those internships and work-based kind of things for our students to find kind of their pathways and their post-secondary pathways. College acceptances are continuing to come in. A lot of early decision applicants, University of Delaware. Many students are wrapping up their final packages and their applications for financial aid because the deadlines are coming up. And the high school also has some trips. We'll talk about those again in a different section where I talk about like board approval things. School choice process is underway as well. And we're continuing with that. We are definitely primed to welcome our largest ninth grade class this year, significantly larger than this year. We're also accepting some limited seats for 10th grade. So be on the lookout for that. From a recognition standpoint, we're very excited to announce that we had four people that passed their El Nomathia exams in the fall. And we have at the A2 level, Sydney Fauser and Thomas Walder. And at the B1 level, Isha Sajiraju. And at the C1 level, Nikki Papadopoulou. So great job to all of them for passing the El Nomathia exams. Also, shout out to Melissa Tracy for getting two more grants. She's the recipient of the American Geographical Society's 2021 GeoBoost grant and Nokia's STEM grant for teachers. So congratulations to Melissa for that. Updates on school priority. I touched on this a little bit. As expected, Odyssey has received a large number of new student applicants for the 2022-23 school year. Although open enrollment ended on the 12th, Odyssey is still accepting additional applications to be added to our waitlist after those received during the open enrollment. Those additional applications will be added to our waitlist in the order in which they are received. In less than 3 months so far, we have already trended towards more applications than were received in the entire 11th month period for the 2021-22 school year. 1283 to date compared to 1059 for the entire 11th month period last year. So, and this is just the beginning. We anticipate this to get even more as we continue to go through the application window process. The school lottery is set for February 18th, 2022, after which we'll start to send out invitation letters as well. And we will be touching in the next board meeting a little bit about our strategy, our enrollment strategy for next year, as more information becomes available to us and as we kind of like sort through our pathway forward. All good news though. From the CIA, CIA is the Curriculum Instruction and Assessment Department. In the K-5 curriculum, teachers are piloting units from the Amplify curriculum. And in the 6-12, they're solidifying their scopes and sequences for all the courses and beginning to identify the needs for the 2023 courses. And we are looking at the preliminary instructional budgets. From the instruction side, the K-5 is analyzing data from their marking periods 1 and 2 to determine the areas needed for their rhyme time, which is that reinforcement block that we've implemented for all the grades. And then 6 through 12, they're completing their gradebook audits right now for semester one and analyzing the formative and summative data from semester one for subgroups and subpopulations to identify targeted instruction for semester two. As a whole school, like we said, we're going through training for restorative practices level two. That will happen in March. It was supposed to happen in February. We had to push it back because of COVID and having folks come in, it was a little bit more challenging for us to do. Assessment, the National Assessment of Educational Progress. We have the fourth grade National Assessment for Educational Progress. 48 students will be taking that assessment on Thursday, January 27th. And for eighth grade, 50 students will be taking it on February 23rd. The social studies field test we talked about earlier as well is on the 24th. STAR testing and our new iReady kindergarten math screener are being scheduled for the month of February. That information will guide us to let us know where are we right now compared to where we were before in terms of instructional loss or instructional gains that we've had since we've brought them back live and in person. SATs for 2022 are now digital. Our SAT coordinator, SSD coordinator, and district testing coordinator are working on the transition to ensure the students are prepared for this spring. I'm going to skip financial updates and let Jeff do that part. We have transportation updates as well. And we have actually Mr. Winokur here with us today. Thank you for joining us. We were able to purchase, as promised, two used Delaware spec buses last week, and they were delivered to OCS on Friday. So, and this is not the end of it. We will continue to add to our bus fleet to continue to promote what we need to do in order to be able to support our growing population and needs of our community. When they're registered and lettered, we will utilize them to support our fleet. They will be strictly used as spare buses at this time and not fleet route buses. For December 2021, our fleet ran at 100% on time for all buses K to 12. We subbed out 16 routes for first student when they did not have a driver available as well. And we're still training and hiring drivers as they come in. We're currently training four drivers who have all passed the proper DMV tests. So that's where we are with that. I can go to the dashboard as well, just to kind of show you where that stands. Hopefully. Yes, and so you see the dashboard over here and it shows you the December routes, 6 to 12 and K to 5, and where we stand for this particular month. These dashboards are always available to us as well. So thank you for all the help there with the transportation team, to our bus drivers, to everybody, Evan, the whole team underneath them, Victoria, everybody that's doing a fantastic job over there to keep us going and keep us coming to school. Student services, lots of stuff going on in student services as well from English language learners. Access for the testing will begin on February 1st and will go through March 18th in all four buildings. Look out for that. MTSS, we have mid-year STAR or DIBELS testing for mid-year progress. That's going to be happening, like we said, in February. We did have it originally scheduled for January, but because we have this live stream thing going on, it doesn't really match up with doing district-wide testing. So we're going to pause until February when we get everybody back in the building and we'll be able to do that. We're working with our instructional team to support this and the implementation of the instructional practices as a result of that. We have an OT that has started and we'll be working with the kindergarten on zones of regulation and to help them with social emotional learning. From special education, the transition fair for students with disabilities will be held on March 24th from 5 to 8 at the Chase Center. Odyssey has helped to support the charter school input at the Newcastle County transition meetings. DOE indicator 11, initial evaluations and indicator 9 and 10 disproportionate representations in special education were determined to be compliant and correctly implemented with the regulations under IDEA, which is very good news. Now we're working on a budget for next year and some grants to help us out in that department. From our IT perspective, we have upgraded or are updating our Blackboard Connect to Blackboard Mass Notification, which is an easier and more robust communication system that also allows us to put in different platforms to make better visuals when we send out things and stuff like that. We are still waiting for 92 Chromebooks that are still backordered, and we have 60 staff Surface laptops that are still backordered as well. facilities, the athletic bleachers, that project is done. They are installed. And the scoreboard, the foundation and the steel have been erected. The scoreboard's a little bit slow getting here, but it'll get here in February. The electrician has already been hired for the project, and we're pending the delivery, obviously, of the scoreboard in order to put the electricity to it and get it going. Staffing, all facilities employees are now working, and all custodial employees are now working. So we have everybody back, which is very, very good news. Admin offices renovation. If you haven't been by the admin offices recently, you should stop by and check it out. We have some new signage that's in the front, complete remodel, new offices, centralized location for all of our operations team over there. And it's actually really, really nice. Very, very good, like visual branding that's been done in the admin offices. HVAC systems, the hot water boilers are being worked on right now. The HVAC units, there's several things that you can see John is working on. Most of them are working operationally normal. In buildings 2024, there's one HVAC unit that's under repair right now. Buildings, building 23, one unit's under repair. And in a small gym, it's under repair, but it's operating. Help desk tickets, there's two pending actions. And that's, there's some other things that are scheduled within the next couple of months for surveillance. So thank you to them as well. Food service, we're excited to announce that our 2021 equipment grant assistance application has been approved, which means that we have $31,000 to purchase the steamer for the kitchen. So that's really good news as well. Fundraising. From our fundraising department, efforts are now focused on preparing
our message. Now we're going to break that bill into pieces, into large chunks of people to get
signal. Right. Targeted sponsors, including our targets in the philanthropic, corporate, school, and Greek communities. Specific efforts are being done on a CRM software to help track and engage all OCS patrons. Further plan to begin our initial annual campaign to kick off after the CRM system is in place and functional. This will target families and friends with collateral that allows the selection of either a restricted capital gift or a donation to an unrestricted operations fund. Carl will begin to message the rollout with conversations with the OCS board members. He's already scheduled appointments with board members, and that's happening right now. His hope is to kind of review the developments in the agenda and engage the board to use all of their capacity that they have in the community to be able to leverage the resources back into our community, both from financial and other resources as well, bringing them into the process of the major fundraising initiatives that we have for the school. We're also looking at a capital campaign versus, feasibility study at the board level and see if we want to go forward with the capital campaign soon or if we want to go a different direction, and Carl will talk about that. Creation of a strategic plan and a campus plan, obviously something that we're talking about working on. The immediate replacement of the campus capital campaign that's currently in place that has, kind of been sitting in neutral for quite some time, like that sign that's sitting as you drive in, right? The thermometer sign and moving past all of those things. And updating the content accordingly for that. We talked about the HR update already. The last item that I have is for the board reminders and approvals. I believe in executive session, the board discussed the EPR approvals for the, those added, duties, that coaching, the stipends, all that kind of stuff. So I don't know if that's up for approval today or not, but we wanted to get an update on that. And then we have high school has two upcoming trips, our senior class trip to Tannersville, Pennsylvania, which is the Camelback Mountains, is scheduled for the weekend of April 8th to 10th. And there's another one on Thursday, March 24th to the Philadelphia Zoo. For the contest for our students that are in the hydroponic learning lab. And then in our middle school, we have the NAEA art conference. And this is sending a teacher out there, and that teacher would be at the Hilton in New York Midtown on Thursday, March the 3rd and Friday, March I think it's Friday, the March the 4th. I'm not sure. Maybe that may be a typo for Thursday and Friday of that week. And that is what I have for you today.
Thank you, Elias. Does anybody have any board members have any questions for Mr. Pappas?
Do we want to vote on the EPR MOU now or in a different section of the agenda?
I think we'll just take that all under new business, that and the field trips.
Okay.
I had a quick question, Elias, on the COVID numbers. I didn't catch it all, so I just wanted to clarify. So I know we're doing the Quidel testing, but we're also taking in testing from parents of students as well, too, that send in third-party testing results as well, too. And I just want to confirm that all of that added together comes up to 4% positivity, or is it just the Quidel testing that's 4%?
That's all of it.
All of it combined, okay. Mm-hmm. I don't have any further questions. Anybody else? Okay, I guess we're gonna jump over to Jeff to do the financial report.
Good evening, OCS board and members of the OCS community. We are going to discuss the December 2021 financial update. All right. We're discussing the period ending December 31st, 2021, which represents 6 months or 50% of the fiscal year. The preliminary budget revenues are $37.8 million, and revenues collected to date are $35.4 million, or just north of 94% of the budget. Revenues received during December, a majority of which you'll see are from state operations and local district funding, and I'll go into a little bit of that later on, as well as the $110,000 from the other state revenue sources. Expenditures, the preliminary budget expenditures are $30.4 million, which includes contingency. And expenses to date are $16.48 million, representing about 55% of the budget, which is kind of right where we would assume to be at this point of the year. So the final payments of funding from local districts have been processed, and the final majority of payments from the state have been processed. Adjusting funding will be expected for the duration of the year for known adjustments, degree changes, and PPL payout reimbursements. As Mr. Pappas mentioned, two spare Delaware spec buses have been purchased with the anticipation of providing support to the fleet when buses are unavailable due to maintenance needs. Preliminary funding was received for HB100, which is for mental health service units, and that's the $110,000 for the other state income. Further guidance is being provided by the state and the General Assembly on the allowable uses for the funding, but all signs point to it being treated like a federal grant, which means being unable to supplant expenses with that funding. Tuition tax billings were sent to the state DOE and then to the individual districts during December. Tuition tax addresses the costs associated with complex and intense special education students. The charter school funding formula established in state code excludes tuition tax from the local cost per student funding sent by districts to the respective charter schools. At this time, the resulting outcome is unknown, with hopefully future updates to come. As Elias mentioned, outages related to COVID-19 were prevalent, especially when we came back in person at the start of January. So the costs associated with those supports are being analyzed to submit a reimbursement to the state to recoup the costs of the associated substitutes when applicable. To date, $850,000 of expenses have been coded to the federal funds out of the preliminarily budgeted amount of $1.96 million. The projected year-end cash on hand is $8.1 million, of which $6.6 million is unrestricted, and $1.5 million is restricted to federal fund carryover. That's everything I have.
All right, thank you, Jeff. Does anybody have any questions for Jeff? Okay. Okay, so no questions. Of a motion to approve the December web report.
This is Erin. I'll move to approve the December web report.
We have a second.
I'll second it.
Any discussion from anybody? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, so the motion carried. Thank you. Next up, CBOC. Do we have an update from the CBOC?
Yep. Good evening, everyone. Evan Winokur, CBOC update. We met this evening. We reviewed the financials, which you just all heard. And we also looked over the Peach card transactions for the last 2 months, asked questions, discussed some of the transactions, and we adjourned the meeting in about 25, 30 minutes. That is it.
Any major issues or items in any of that?
Sir.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we have committee reports. So we'll go through the list. I know we've had a number of meetings over the last few weeks. I guess DE&I, we'll take that one first. Ever, Helen, you guys want to give us a summary of that?
Yes, as Mr. Pappas reported, we had a meeting last night with the cultural coordinator. We are very excited to have her on board, Ms. Bonet. Helen, myself, on behalf of the DE&I committee and the EPP alumni or graduates, we discussed their projects and we are looking in ways to implement them. We have to be patient with the implementation because COVID has put, slowed down everything, priority shift. Things that we thought may be possible sooner, they will take a little longer, but work is being done and we are very excited about it.
When can we maybe expect to see a series of recommendations for implementation?
We will talk again soon. And we have to prioritize. I mean, there were several good recommendations that came forward for projects. But like I said, I mean, for example, one of them, the things we want to do is have something during PDs. However, there are other priorities right now. So give us a little bit of time, be a little patient. We all want to implement these things. We are very enthusiastic about it.
All right, thank you, Eva. Any other comments from the DE&I committee? Okay, I do apologize. I do want to jump back because I did miss checking for a Greek department report. So before we go to the rest of the committee, I just want to jump back to see if Dr. Lukaku was on and had a Greek department report.
Good evening, everybody. Yes, I'm here. And actually, I have very good news to share with the community. News that I shared yesterday with Immersion Expansion Committee. So now it's time to share with the whole community. So the application that we submitted as a school for cohort 9, to DOE, for cohort 9 of the World Language Expansion Initiative has been approved, which is great news for our school and for our Greek program. And the DOE tends to award the grant funding to further application of the Greek program implementation in our campus. So just to give you an idea right now, officially in this initiative, the World Language Expansion Initiative of DOE, there are only Spanish and Mandarin. So now we know for us, for Greek, I don't know what other languages have been accepted this year, But as for now, Greek is the first less commonly taught language accepted in this initiative, which is phenomenal for us. We are very happy to see how all this hard work over all these years have been recognized from DOE more officially. It's not the first time that they recognize our work, but this initiative gives a different prestige and also support from DOE in terms of planning, in terms of training, closer collaboration with DOE. And now I have a second item to share with you, which is great news as well. I would like to welcome from the Greek department, Dr. Marina Mathiodakis back to our department. This time her role is different. She's the consultant for the Greek program. And we have been collaborating very closely with Dr. Marina. I guess everybody knows Dr. Marina, she was the dean for the Greek department for the last 4 or 5 years. I'm not sure how many years. And now we work closely together to meet the needs of the program of our students. The other thing that I would like to report is an update from the collaboration that I said probably a month ago that we had this year with the American Farm School in Thessaloniki in Greece. We had two classes from our immersion program, the kindergarten classes and the third grade immersion, collaborating with the American Farm School in Thessaloniki. And what they did, they exchanged greeting cards, the third grade immersion with the third grade in Thessaloniki for the winter break. And our kindergarteners made videos, because they don't write yet in Greek. They made videos wishing, you know, sharing wishes, good wishes for the winter break. And now, actually tomorrow morning, we're going to have a Zoom between teachers, the Greek teachers here and the American teachers of the immersion, Greek language teachers and English language teachers, with the teachers in Thessaloniki, to see each other. If they do, some of them, they know each other, some others know, they are new in the program, to celebrate this experience that they offer to our kids, because our kids were really happy to see, you know, they know that they sent with greeting cards to Greece and now they received greeting cards from Greece and they were really, really happy. So it's time for the teachers to celebrate this great project that they did over the last month. Another item is we had, she's a teacher, I think, from Greece, from Crete. She works for the radio station in Greece, in Crete, in the island of Crete. And she reached out to Miss Eva Giannelli. She wanted to have Eva for an interview to speak about Greek language teachers in Greece and in America and how this is different. And Ms. Giannelli found the opportunity, of course, to speak about our school. So it was a great publicity for our school. And she presented our program and what we do here and everything. And thank you, Eva Giannelli, for this opportunity for our school. Let me see my list. I have just a couple of more items about teachers. I would like to thank the HR department for the support they offered for our Greek language teachers. Although then, you know, when we didn't have Greek language teachers, they supported us with English language teachers. But I would like also to say that before the winter break, we have only one Greek language sub teacher. And after the break, we managed to bring in more people. So now we have three Greek language sub teachers, which is a big difference for us, for the program, I mean. I forgot to say something about students. Mr. Pappas talked about Ellinomathia, said about our Ellinomathia results. And I would like to say that for the first time, we have two students who received the certificate of multi-literacy. And we are very proud of them. It's the first time for Odyssey. is Isa Sagirahu, who received the gold level of the certificate, and Nikki Papadopoulou, who received the diamond level. So not only our students learn Greek, Nikki Papadopoulou does know Greek, but we have the other students who are learning Greek, but also their proficiency is getting higher and higher. The one before the end, the last, our talent acquisitions already has started, as I told you before, from both United States and Greece. And this week we start, the Greek department is starting the first interviews for teachers for next year. So I'm sure that we are going to be ready for next year, early in the year. And the last thing is, please follow the Greek news weekly. We share with you, it's part of the parent communication every Thursday. We share with you what is happening in school, inside the classes. We share projects, pictures, our students' smiles, everything. So please look for it every Thursday. That's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lukaku. Great news on the Greek program, get accepted by the DOE as well. That's really big in Delaware. So congratulations on really getting to that level where the DOE is actually acknowledging the great work that's being done here and acknowledging the program as well too. So great job to you and the staff and everybody in the Greek department.
Thank you.
Any questions for Dr. Lukaku? All right. Well, thank you. Great report. Appreciate it. Keep up the great work.
Sure.
So we'll jump back to committee reports. Immersion committee, do we have an update on that?
As Dr. Ioana mentioned, early in her report, we are resuming the immersion committee meetings. We had our first last night. We had about 20 people, half teacher, half parents. The teachers shared their experiences with the program. They also shared what their expectations might be for the fifth grade, how they visualize it, what some of the students might understand, and how things might even move forward into future classes, to future grades. They also had a question and answer period where some of the questions were fielded by the parents about honors programs and any type of accelerated programs. So hopefully anyone who would like to participate, we're still refining when the day is going to be. Right now it's still going to be next month, the third Tuesday. So until you hear otherwise, it'll be the third Tuesday, probably around 5 o'clock. So the more we get participation involved, the more questions, we'd love to hear what you have to say. And you can hear how wonderful our Greek program is doing. Finally, our Greek language got on the map in Delaware. It's being recognized, and that is due to our administration, to our work, everyone's work here is doing all the hard work. So. Thank you all, and up the good work.
Thank you, Anna Marie. Any questions for Anna Marie?
And just would like to thank Anna Maria for all her support. She's great.
Thank you. Next up, fundraising committee. Georgia or Mary Ann, does anybody have a update on that?
I don't know if Georgia is on and Marianne is not on the board anymore. So
she's still on the committee.
Marianne, do you have a report? Are you on?
I'm on, but I do not have a report. I was not prepared for it.
I have a little something to report related to the fundraising committee. Is this a good time?
Sure, go ahead.
So I'm very happy to announce that we're going to be bringing forward tomorrow a first in donation in quite some time towards our gym. Through a personal connection of mine and the collaborative work with Marianne and the support of our president of the board, we are happy to announce that we received a $40,000 donation again towards the gym. The donation is made by a family very dear to me, a family that our OCS community owes a whole lot already. I'm referring to the Yanos and Skoutelas family. Many people may still remember them. Dr. Yanos was not only one of the founders of the school. I think he was the one who brought the idea to the AHEPA about a school like ours. And then AHEPA embraced it and worked diligently to materialize it. Mr. Tony Skoutelas, on the other hand, he was his son-in-law and our school's first headmaster. Unfortunately, he was taken from us way too early, but he still remembered for his kind and caring leadership, his integrity, his character. He was a very authentic person, very true to who he was. And this personality of his shined in all of his relationships. He was so much loved and respected that after Tony passed away in 2011, the staff had made wristbands with the initials of the words, "What would Tony do?" And I still have mine and I often reflect on it. We can only hope that this generous donation will inspire others as well to donate towards implementing the mission and the vision of the school. Furthermore, it confirms the belief that we are not alone. People believe in what we do and they are supporting us. Thank you from the bottom of my heart to the Yanos and Skoutelas family. And Jeff, I'm going to be bringing you the check tomorrow.
Thank you, Eva. That's great news. Great work by everybody involved with working that. And hopefully that's, like you said, kind of priming the pump for getting things back on track with fundraising. We're starting to get some reasonable amounts of funding coming in, but that's just the tip of the iceberg, I think. And the plans that we have is to really kind of go out and get some big dollars, but we always count on our community as well to continue to help support the school in any way possible, whether it's a small amount or whatever you can give. And so as these things start to kick off, think about the school in the future and everything that the school provides everybody. And hopefully we can all join in and help to continue to support the school as well. So thank you and great news.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And Marianne.
Yes. Thanks everybody, Marianne and Carl and yourself, Eva, and the families. Other committees, not to have a nominating committee.
I can give an update here. So, we've reviewed and re-reviewed the parent director applications. And so in the new business section of the meeting, we will plan to put forth a motion to bring on a new parent rep. Additionally, as mentioned previously, Marianne Yarram has taken a new position in the administrative leadership of the school. So thank you, Marianne, for all of your service to the board. She has stepped off the board in between last meeting and this one. In preparation for that, we had posted a role for a non-Greek program teacher. And so we've received some applications, we've conducted some interviews. We're in the process as a committee of meeting to review those interviews and intend to have a decision in the near future, hopefully by the next meeting on that as well.
All right, thank you, Aaron. Any other committees or groups that I missed? I don't think I have, but just in case. All right, thank you. Thank you, Aaron. Next up, we have PTO report. I believe there's a rep from the PTO to give us an update.
Thank you. So for PTO, the updates are that we have pretzel sales out right now. The last day to purchase is on January 30th. The pretzels will start on February 6th and go through May 24th. Again, it's a 15-week cycle. And again, those will end on January 30th. You can purchase them at the Odyssey Charter School PTO at gmail.com. You can also purchase them on Venmo. The Venmo link is on Facebook. If you need us to email you a copy of it, please send us an email. We will respond. You can also reach out to us on instant message on Facebook. The PTO is currently selling two types of roses for Valentine's Day. We are selling the traditional wood roses, which we've sold in the past, which come in multiple colors. We are also adding this year a chocolate rose, which the kids can purchase. We're selling them online for K through 12th, but the 6th through 12th grade will have the option to purchase the chocolate roses at during lunch on the 10th and the 11th, which is the Thursday and Friday before Valentine's Day. And then the roses will be delivered to the classroom. You can also purchase for the whole classroom, and that option is online. We do have the book fair coming up in March. And that will be the first week of March. Details for that will come out in the next month or so. We do have the color run coming up on April 30th, and the PTO is working side by side with the HEPA on this project. Meetings will be scheduled in the middle to end of February to get that project rolling again. So if there's any volunteers that want to help with that project, please send me an email and we will get you the details for that meeting. Previously, the PTO was scheduled to do a year-end carnival, working closely with the school with that, and it has been decided due to COVID, they were going to postpone and push the carnival back to the end of school year of 2023. But in place of that, we will be doing a year-end barbecue and hoping to do it a little bit bigger than the back-to-school bash we had this year. And again, the committee will start, we started for that probably the end of February, beginning of March. And that's all I have at this time.
Thank you very much, Kai. Anybody have any questions for the PTO?
Yes, I have a quick question. What's your email?
You want my personal email?
Yes.
It's KAIJAMILLER at iCloud.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Kai. Next up is new business. There are a couple of items. Elias, just want to get back to you. You had mentioned out-of-state travel. Do you have a motion for, or do you have a list of out-of-state travel requirements at this time, or is that something you want to bring forward at another meeting?
That was mentioned on the head of school report. There was a trip to Camelback for the seniors, a trip to the Philadelphia Zoo for the seniors, and then one teacher attending a national conference in New York for two nights.
Okay.
So since I'm still unmuted, I'd like to make a motion that we approve all three of those adventures.
I second.
Any discussion? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, so that carries. Next up on new business, we had some updates to the union contract for the EPR section in the appendix of that contract. Everyone's had time to review it. Does anybody have a motion with respect to the EPR contracts and approving them as submitted?
This is Erin. I would move to approve the edits to the CBA related to EPR activities as submitted to the board.
Do we have a second?
I second.
Any discussion on the matter or questions with respect to the updates or changes? All right. Since there are no questions, we'll call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that update changes. I'll review that and sign it and send it back as well, too. Thank you. Third up, NANAHEPA Nominating Committee. Do we have a motion on that as well, too? For the parent rep.
Alda, do you want to make a motion?
I move to nominate Kristen Turner to the parent position that's open on the board currently.
We have a second.
I'll second that.
Second. All in favor, and this is just the non-HEPA nominating, non-HEPA members.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so that motion carries. I spoke with Kristen earlier. She was willing to accept the nomination. She couldn't be here tonight. She had a previous engagement, but she's excited about sitting on the board. We'll send out some additional information on Kristen to the community as well. So welcome, Kristen, and congratulations. Any other new business right now? I don't think we have anything, just confirming. I guess next up, anything for the good of the school? No updates for the good of the school. Any closing comments? Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody. That concludes the public session of the meeting. We are going to go into a brief executive session, discuss some personnel matters, and we'll come out. There won't be any voting, but it's going to be a closed session for a few minutes on that. So thank everybody for participating. We really thank your participation in the board meetings. So it's 7:37. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I wish to adjourn.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Getting adjourned. Thanks, everyone. Aye.